It is Locked On Jazz for the 31st of August. We're heading to a Game 7. Jamal Murray, what can we do about it? Joe Ingles, how do we get him going? And a breakdown of the Jazz Game 6 loss, all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. The brand new delicious Built Bars are out. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. All right, so I went this morning and watched all of Jamal Murray's shots. So we'll walk through that, and then we'll try to figure out what our different choices are and how to defend him. We'll look at some thoughts I had on the game as a whole. We'll talk about how different bubble basketball is, and that's having a significant impact on this. Denver's defensive adjustments have completely altered what we do offensively. Joe Ingles needs to have a bigger impact. What can be done? And we'll try to look at the impact that Gary Harris had on the game. So if we can get to all those things, we will. Hopefully we have time. So let's start with Jamal Murray, who's now gone 50-42-50 in three games. And a outroar, Charles Barkley, is ever so detailed analysis, having not watched a single Jazz game all year. And everybody else about why did we not double team Jamal Murray. So let's first figure out what Jamal Murray did in his brilliant performance and see if we can analyze it. So he took 22 shots that mattered. He took 24, but the last two, the game was over. His pull-up three at 109-95 with 336 left, up 14 with 336 left, ends the game. He makes his last five again, which is just incredible. And that's when the game was really in the balance. So let's walk through those four, and then let's look at what let's look at the game as a whole. So the final four, five possessions of the game, where he really, you know, he changes the outcome. The Jazz, the game only had one tie and only one lead change the entire game. So Jazz jumped early. Denver took the lead. Jazz knocked on the door. They huffed and puffed a few times. But they never got beyond that. So if we go to the fourth quarter, he never takes a break. It's 88-82, 8:46 left, and he hits a straightaway three off a Plumlee rescreen. So Jokic is not in the game. He goes right to left. Ingles is defending. We drop the big down, but not totally. I mean, Gobert's playing fairly high with Plumlee, who's a very good passer and just a pick setter. You could probably be more aggressive. And he hits a straightaway three off the rescreen. Great shot straightaway, though, but fairly uncontested. So that one we could probably try to look at and see what could have been done. So Denver goes back up by nine at that point. We battle back. Grant hits some big shots. We get it to 97-90 on a Donovan three. And here are the two biggest shots of the game. And frankly, they're probably shots you can live with. So top of the key, going left to right. He gets a handoff from Jokic. It's defended by O'Neal and Gobert. And he hits a 13-foot floater in the lane. So he's pretty good at this shot. In the regular season, he hits 46% of these shots, which is better than league average. He's at 52% in the playoffs, which is, you know, incrementally better and matters, but not dramatically. And he hits a 13-foot floater fadeaway. So you're not fouling him. He's not getting the three. You're that's a tip your hat a little bit. The next one, they run a guard-to-guard interchange. The Jazz have gotten a stop. It's 101-93. We're not totally, Niang misses. It's 99-90 now. So we're not totally in this game. I mean, down 10 with 5 minutes left, you're kind of getting, and a similar impact. guard-guard interchange, Mitchell and Niang defending. We force him into a 12-foot floater, and he hits it. Like, again, I kind of tip my hat on that one. And then finally, so he's rolling, and that's the problem, is he's rolling. And that's where the Jazz have to do something, is try to break his rhythm. They've give him different looks, do a few things. I'll give you a thought or two on what I think we might be able to do. I'm not a big believer in the double team him, but everyone, you know, that everyone's talking about. It sounds good. It makes you sound, you know, you can walk around, you can say it. We'll talk about it. I'm not sure it's not a big believer. So it's 101-93. Donovan's hit another three. And then another dagger. Straight away, pick and roll with Jokic. O'Neal Gobert defending. He rejects the screen again and hits a pull-up three. Gobert's pretty high up on this one. The interesting thing here about these two threes he hits, one is a rescreen off Plumlee, and the other is a rejecting the screen. Not the podcast, just the play. When he's rejecting the screen, so in other words, he's coming up, Jokic is saying the picture, he goes the other way, hard to double. When he comes off the Plumlee pick and you double, and then Plumlee comes back and could set a pick on that guy, and you come back the other way and rescreen, hard to double. Like, are you doubling him before the screen even comes? Are you just, like, the minute he gets across half court, running two guys at him and playing 4-on-3 defense on the backside? I'm such not a believer in that. Like, this is not Rick Majerus in the WAC. This is not Lifetime Fitness basketball. This is not Ward Ball. Like, everyone can dribble, shoot, and score. Like, you go start playing 4-on-3 from 30. You might do it on an occasion to surprise them once. And I don't disagree that we could change things up and alter what we're doing. But, like, the idea that you're just supposed to double? Wow. Then he hits the pull-up three in transition. The game's over. He went 4-for-4 in transition, 3 in transition, once on a second chance backdoor cut where Ingles lost him. So he goes 4-for-4. He goes 11 of 18 in the half court. There's some interesting things here about what Murray did. So of the 18 half court possessions, only 7 of them came off action with Jokic. They've actually really moved away from a lot of the Jokic pick and roll stuff. Because, frankly, when Gobert switches on him, that's our best defense right now. And so they've moved away from a lot of that. What they torched us on in Game 5 was guard-to-guard interchanges into mismatches. They only went, when Murray shot off those, he only went 1-for-4. He went 4-for-7 on Jokic interchanges. He had 2 threes out of that. On the Jokic stuff, he missed a 16-footer on the left wing early. Ran one in the first quarter. In the second quarter, he hit a 15-foot fadeaway. I mean, if Murray wants to beat us in the mid-range, not going to the free throw line, I think you tip your hat. It's the pull-up three that's the problem. And he shot 34% on it in the regular season. He's shooting 57% on it in the postseason. 57%. On above the break three, 1.6. Like, that's the shot you've got to take away right now. And you've got to stop. I got it's 34% to 57, but we got one game left. Handoff with Jokic. 21-footer. Gobert switches on him. He makes it. Or excuse me, he misses. Pick and roll with Jokic. Drives to the rim. Gobert switches on him. He misses. Pick and roll with Jokic. He takes the right corner three. It's one of the dagger plays of the game. He stepped back right corner three late in the third. It's a massive play. He kind of swung the game. Handoff with Jokic, 13-footer. Rescreen with Jokic, pull-up three. So we talked about those last two. Like, on the Jokic action, the Jazz are actually defending that pretty well, right? He took a 16-footer. He took a 15-footer. He took a 21-footer. He drove to the basket against Gobert, which we'll take. He hits a crazy corner three over Gobert, which I think we'd take. He hits a 13-footer, which we'll take. And he rejects the screen, hits a pull-up three. Gobert's high, pretty up. Like, that one maybe would like a little bit better defense, but that's a pretty tough play when he rejects the screen. He and Plumlee got going in the third quarter. He got Bradley involved in one pick. He got 2 for 3 on isolations and an off-ball play. He went one. He made a early in the game. He got his first layup down low. He has just been great. And we don't seem to have an answer on how to defend him. If you dig into individual matchups trying to defend Jamal Murray, we do not have an answer. And that's a problem. We'll look at some more of that here in just a second. Today's show brought to you in part by Built Bar. The Built Bar has redesigned their bar, redesigned their product. It's more delicious than ever. It is the protein bar that tastes good with 100% chocolate, great flavors, and a great taste all across. Built Bar. You don't need the glass of water. You don't need the something else to solve your problem for you when you get this. Is just a good, it tastes like candy bar, frankly. Mint brownie, double chocolate, raspberry, as I've talked about, the orange surprised me. All the ones I like that are chocolate are without nuts. And then they've got the 18 nut flavors for you. Actually, I guess it's down to 9 nut flavors for you. German chocolate cake, lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp. You can put your get options. You can build your own box. You can build your bundle. It's all pretty fabulous. And the macros are amazing. Compared to the leading men's protein bar, Built Bar has 120 fewer calories, half as many calories, more than half the fat grams. Instead of 38 carbs, you get 4. Instead of 21 sugar grams, you get 4. Instead of the fibers the same, and protein, instead of 10, you get 17. So you get nearly 2 times the protein. You get 1/5 the sugar. You get 1/8 the carbs. You get 1/2 the fat. It's all at BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you $10 off your first purchase. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Located out in Woods Cross, also in Linden, the amazing Chevy lineup of cars is available for you. And the Murdoch Sure program running as well. Whether it's the Silverado, which is like the king daddy of trucks with a great pulling power, but also makes you feel like you're in a lazy boy chair, as comfortable as can be, and just a great luxury truck is really what they should call that. Or the Colorado, the Chevy truck lineup has been the leader for decades. The SUV lineup, absolutely fantastic. The 2020 Trax, 2020 Equinox, and the flashy 2020 Blazer. 15% cash back right now on select 2020 Chevy models, so make sure you check it out. Murdoch Sure program going on as well. If you're going to stop by Murdoch Chevy, make sure you give me an email first at dlock09@gmail.com so we can set you up and give you a great experience. It's all at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also in Logan. So who can guard Jamal Murray? Well, so far in the series, not much of anyone. When Royce O'Neal's on him, he's shooting 59% and 55% from three. When Joe Ingles is on him, he's 11 of 18, shooting 61% and 50% from three. When Donovan Mitchell's guarding him, he's shooting 62% and 100% from three. I mean, those are your three answers, and none of them are working. The guy who's actually been the best is Rudy. And not great, but the best. He's 16 of 31, 52%. He's 5 of 9 from 3 to his credit. I mean, he's just otherworldly right now. So what can we do? All right, so we're talking about he rejects the screen. He goes away from the screen. He's not So double teaming, like blitzing off the pick and roll. First of all, like there is a belief here, and this sucks, but this is the reality. Like if you don't do something, trying to suddenly do it with 5 guys in unison, having not done it all year, you're going to lose. This is what happened to Oklahoma City against us a few years ago. It's a little bit what happened against the Clippers, and it's a little bit about what happened to Denver in Game 4 when they tried something they'd never done before, and we just torched them on it. Now they've gotten back to kind of being who they are defensively. When you try something new in the playoffs defensively, Igor Kokoschkov used to always say, you're broken. Okay, we have probably blitzed. I would be surprised if we've blitzed. We didn't play 82 games. If we've blitzed 35, 40 times this season, I'd be surprised. We're not a very good show pick and roll. So blitz is you bring 2 guys to the ball the minute he comes off the pick. Okay, that's one. Show pick and roll is you come out, you show, and then you retreat back to your guys. We're not great at that, honestly. Like, that's something, that's probably where we need to go. It's something we do at occasion. We're not very good at it. The next thing you're going to do is bring Gobert to the point of the screen. We've come pretty close to doing that, and it's not having a huge impact. The other choice is that you drive Jamal Murray off the three-point line into the two-point area, try to make him make twos that are tough looks because he doesn't love to go to the rim, and don't foul him. And that's a little bit of what we did at the key moments of the game, and he hit the shots. I mean, I don't know. Like, and then your other choice is that, like, the minute he crosses half court, you treat him like Dame Lillard and you double team him. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's, like, you could do it, in my opinion, three or four times in a game. Maybe. But what is he, all he's going to do on that, by the way, you double team him, he goes and throws it to Jokic, they're just in their offense now. It's not like Dame Lillard in Portland where if Dame doesn't have the ball, that's not their offense. Jamal Murray, you go run two guys at him. He tosses to Jokic. And now he comes off a handoff. He's going to go get it back. The call for double teaming on postcast last night, and I'm hearing it other places, it's not that well thought out, honestly. So, like, tell me how you're going to do it. You're either double teaming once he comes across half court. You're now playing 4-on-3 with their best passer in Jokic and ball handler with the ball. Okay? Two, you're double teaming when he comes off a pick, but he's not always coming off a pick. And frankly, as we just talked about, he's running a lot less stuff with Jokic, so he's doing guard-to-guard interchanges and things of that nature. And so maybe you want to run the pick. Maybe you're going to double team him off the pick with your guard-to-guard interchange. Maybe. Yeah. We could have done that. You know, the guard-to-guard interchange didn't yield anything. He went 1-for-4. You know, we could double him off the pick, but he, again, let's go back to like what we just talked about at the end. He gets the rescreen from Plumlee. He hits the two mid-range jumpers. We could certainly could have, one of them's on a guard-to-guard interchange with Mitchell and Niang. So you double, then he's got that ball to Jokic. Jokic is the wild card here that makes it almost impossible to double Jamal Murray. That's what makes it so difficult. Because he's their best distributor of the basketball, and finds his teammates and gets them going. So there's not an easy answer here, unfortunately. Frankly, I think the answer is you've got to try to take away the three. And if he's going to beat you on a bunch of mid-range twos, then they win, which sucks. But here's his threes. His three is an off-the-bounce pull-up three on a pick-and-roll with Plumlee in the first quarter. Gobert contest kind of, I wrote. Step back, isolation three on Juwan Morgan. You just got to get up on his body, and if he's going to drive by you, you let him. Step back three on Ingles on a guard-to-guard interchange, and he misses. Step back three off the bounce, isolation on Donovan, he makes it. You just, in isolation, one-on-one, you're just going to have to move up above the three-point line and force him off that shot. Step back three on the right corner off the switch with Gobert. It was a stupid shot. It was unbelievable. Straight away three off the rescreen from Plumlee from Gobert and Ingles. That one's tough. So we're going to have to probably bring Gobert up to the point of the screen even more than we already are. He's then going to probably hit Plumlee on the roll, and it's a 4-on-3. It's ugly. Rejects the screen, hits the pull-up over on Jokic late. I don't know what you do on that one. I really don't. Unless you, and that's the answer on that is, you know, maybe that's how he's getting his three. But maybe you're defending him in a way up physically and you're forcing him, but then I don't know where Gobert fits in that. And then transition pull-up three late. So if you review his threes, which is what I really think are killing us. I mean, he's been great. You have an off-the-bounce three on a pick-and-roll with Plumlee that you're going to have to probably have to bring Gobert up higher. Isolation, step back, you got to get up in and tighter on him. Step back three, he misses. Ingles just got, you know, fine, good. Joe defended well. Ingles blocks a three, by the way, as well in here. which is a nice job by Joe at the end of the half. And that was on a guard-to-guard interchange, so we didn't need to double. We handled it really well. Step back three, right corner. You just have to get up on him a little more. When you get the isolation, you're going to have to force him off the three and into twos. That, to me, I think is the answer on Murray. All right, let's get some other thoughts on the game. It's not a double. I just don't buy it. You can hedge. You can show. You can do it. We also just don't do some of those things well. I thought the key moment of the game is it's 28-18. We're rolling. We've hit seven our first seven. It's not sustainable. Jokic goes out with two fouls. Plumlee comes in and just changes the game. Jokic goes out of the game. Then Murray hits a three. And give Murray credit. Murray, like, takes over. Murray hits a three. I think he gets... I have to go back and look at that one. Off-bounce three. That's the over the Plumlee pick and roll we just talked about. Then Murray hits a driving layup. So Murray's kind of taking control. 28-23. He does a fabulous job of, like, immediately kind of asserting himself on the game. We go back up 32-23 after Niang dunks, and Torrey Craig hits a three. And that's a killer. And there's something different about bubble basketball going on. The Jazz have had their second best, 12th best, 15th best, and 16th best shooting games of the year in this series. Denver's had their second best, 4th best, 13th best, and 15th best. So four of Denver's 15 best shooting games have happened in this series. Four of the Jazz 16 best have happened this series. It's easier to shoot in the bubble. They're shooting in the exact same environment every single game. And it changes a little bit who you are defensively. If I'm Milwaukee, it would make me very worried. If I'm Toronto, it would make me very worried. These are teams that allow you to shoot threes. If everyone's making the threes at a better rate, that's a problem. Jazz go back up 36-28. Murray ends the quarter with two free throws late. Give him credit. Like, Murray actually grasped this game as much in the first quarter as he did in the fourth. The really big swing to me in this game is it's 33-26. Murray hits two free throws. Murray gets fouled again, gets two more free throws. Murray hits a three. Murray hits a layup, and it's all of a sudden 36-35. The three is on a ISO on Juwan Morgan. Then they add, you know, then they start getting some. Gary Harris playing makes a big difference in this series. Jordan Clarkson was 0-for-4 in the four shots he took when being guarded by Gary Harris. And then at 39-39, we have our only tie. And our offense is just atrocious at this point. I don't know what happened. We had a possession that was the worst possession I've seen all year. Mike Conley comes up, throws it to Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles looks at him, throws it back to Mike Conley. He shoots a three and misses badly. Like, if you wanted a possession that made me look at me like dysfunction, that was it. That was troublesome. And then Denver takes the lead, and we never get it back. Jokic hits a three to make it 45-41. But it's interesting, in this stretch, and this is what, you know, is who they are, Murray makes the key plays. Jokic hits the big three. It's 45-41. We get it back to two. Jokic makes some more free throws, and then they start to get some other stuff. And what they got out of Jeremy Grant and we didn't get anything else was big. Really big. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie's the real estate company that's changing the way we think about real estate commissions and how we are all going to have a real estate experience. So Homie done an interesting research project recently to make sure that everyone kind of knows about how it works. 65% of the respondents said they didn't know that the typical commission paid when selling a home is 6% of the price of the home. So $18,000 on a $300,000 home goes to commission. That's why Homie changed the way this has worked and has saved customers over $50 million in total by not using the old school traditional realtors. Homie saves sellers an average of $10,000. Yes, $10,000. And 73% of Homie's agents are part of the top 500 agents this year. So give a text to LOCK or text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. An experienced local Homie agent will help you every step of the way. Remember, you can buy with Homie and save thousands because Homie's got your back. So text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. All right, let's talk about Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles is incredibly valuable to the Jazz. It is my vision, my eyes tell me that when Mike Conley is on the floor, Joe Ingles becomes passive. So Joe needs to be pick and roll Joe. And in this series, we really need Joe to be Boyan Joe. Like, we need Joe out and running. We need our team out and running. We need Joe getting early threes. He went 1 for 4. They were, three of them were wide open by definition of the league. And he went 1 for 3 on those threes. Joe had a bad playoff series last year against Houston. He's having a better statistical series this year. But here's the tricky part. So you can immediately say, well, I want Joe going, so it's Mike Conley's fault. Except for the fact that when Mike Conley and Joe Ingles are on the court together, our offense has been amazing. We're shooting 52%. We're shooting 60% from three. Our offensive rating when Ingles and Conley are on the floor together is a 128, and we're plus 13. So as much as I'd like to see Joe go, I care about the team and winning. But it's clear in the 91 minutes in which Joe has been on the floor with Mike Conley, he has 9 shot attempts. One every 10 minutes. He's 3 of 9. They're all threes. When Mike Conley's off the court, Joe is 16 of 35 for 46%, 10 of 26 from 3, 39%. So Joe is taking a shot every 3 minutes, a little more, about 2 minutes, 40 seconds, when Conley's off the court, and a shot every 10 minutes when Conley's on the court. But the team is great, is better when Conley's on the floor with Joe. Okay, so try to figure that out. And then Joe's playing time, when Joe plays time with Donovan and Conley, I'm sure he's not getting in. On our pick and roll action this year, of the series, Donovan's run the most, Conley's run the second most, and Joe's run the third most. Now, our best pick and roll combo in the series is still Joe and Rudy. And it'd be nice to get Jamal Murray involved in more pick and rolls. We ran about 8 of them early in the game. We didn't get a lot out of him, though. I mean, I think we only ended up with, like, of the 8 or 9 pick and rolls we ran with him, we only ended up with, like, 1 or 2 buckets and only 1 or 2 things that developed out of it. Joe and Tony Bradley are a great mix, but right now Tony Bradley's having a hard time staying on the court. So, I don't have a great answer here for you. But it is the answer. Like, we've got to figure something out here. As it is not, you know, Joe is incredibly vital to what we're doing. And so, do you take the ball out of Donovan's hands and out of Mike Conley's hands? Just to get Joe going? It's a hard call. Our pick and roll for the series, it's just been good, frankly. Like, it's all been good. What's happened to our offense in the last few games is Denver's defense is is taking away our isolation game. In addition to taking away our isolation game, has taken away our passes, and then we're not getting the corner threes, which is a lot of what Boyan got for us, and in transition. We got 7 corner threes in the last game. We had 13 or 14 in the first games, and then we only had 4 and then 8, now 7. We threw 269 passes in this game. We threw over 300 plus passes in the other games. until Denver made some of their defensive switches. So give Denver credit. They have changed what they're doing defensively, and it's working. Game one, we threw 300 passes. Game two, we threw 320 in game one. We threw 300 in game two. We threw 322 in game three. Game four, we only threw 236. Game five, we threw 283. And then yesterday, we threw 269 passes. So they've stopped some of our ball movement. Our isolation game, which we were killing them on early in the series, we are not having success with right now. They are they're doing a masterful job of avoiding certain isolation matchups. Michael Porter Jr., they found a way to not get him exposed like he was earlier. Jamal Murray is probably the defender the Jazz are now hunting as much as any. They're bringing help to it and doing a really good job of preventing the Jazz from getting the type of isolations that they want. And it's, you know, and in turn, that was a large part of our offense early in the series. And we were killing. We're still getting our 100 pick and rolls a game. We're not losing that aspect of things. But the series has evolved. Frankly, the Jokic-Murray pick and roll is not what it was early in the series for Denver, and our isolation game is not. Their answer is just Jamal Murray being superhuman. Our answer is Donovan Mitchell being superhuman, and we're going to have to get some other aspects to it. Their shooting last night was their second best shooting game of the year. I'd say not sustainable, but I don't know. I really don't. Donovan is still brilliant. And the same way we don't have an answer for Murray, they don't have an answer for Donovan. When Jeremy Grant's guarding him, Donovan's shooting 53% and 56% from three. Torrey Craig, he's not shooting well, but he's gone to the free throw line 15 times and drawn five shooting fouls. He's 15 to 15 on free throws. When they switch Jamal Murray onto Donovan Mitchell is 10 of 13 shooting, 5 of 6 and 3. When they get Jokic backpedaling, Donovan's at 50%. When Michael Porter Jr. switched to him, he's shooting 65%. When Morris switched to him, he's shooting 58%. The Jazz, Murray, Porter, and Morris were the guys the Jazz were hunting with Jokic backpedaling. He's frankly Donovan's not having a problem with Torrey Grant, but they're taking that away a little bit. And they've taken away Rudy. They've taken away the Rudy role. Fourth quarter, Rudy does not get a shot. Third quarter, Rudy goes 1 of 4. I thought his weakness offensively, if there's someone between him and the basket, he has a hard time finishing. And he tried to do it because he needs to. And he couldn't get much in that. But the second quarter offensively was really as much, you know, our defense was really the problem, but we went 4 of 16 shooting in the second quarter. We just got stagnant, didn't move the ball, and just had some weird dysfunctional possessions. All right, I'll rewatch the game again today, have more for you tomorrow as we get ready for a big Game 7. It'll be a fun one. What a treat to get a good Game 7 and have that kind of excitement. Jazz, Nuggets will be joyful, might be hard to listen to. If you want general overview on the NBA, Josh Lloyd's Monday show, local experts on the biggest stories, was very, very strong today. So make sure you grab that. Football season's heating up. Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson are always doing Locked On NFL. They're actually switching to their own show coming up here with a new Locked On NFL coming. A little sneak peek for you. All right, it is Locked On Jazz. Have a great day.